I would like us to please open our Bibles to Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. And I'm going to be reading from verse 11 today. Acts chapter number 19. And I'm going to be reading from verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Verse 14. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed and came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. 50,000 pieces of silver. That's about the wage of a person working for 165 years. All right. Just to give you a perspective. Verse 20 says, "So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to share your words together. Father, this morning we ask that you will breathe upon your word afresh again. Let the word come alive unto us. Lord, let there be a mix of this word with faith in our heart, so that, Lord, the power of the Lord will be released, not just to listen and hear, but to do, to be doers of the word this morning. I ask that you anoint me afresh, Lord, and make my tongue to become like the pen of a ready writer, so that your word will flow out of me like streams of living water this morning. Let it be in accuracy and in power, in simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God, so that all of us, both the speaker and the hearer, at the end of this teaching, will have been tremendously blessed. Do something in our hearts today that will change our lives forever. Thank you because you do so. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name, and the church say aloud, amen. You know, a local football club started losing games, and they were not doing very well. And they recognized that the problem that they had was mainly because they didn't have a good scorer, a good goal scorer, or a striker, you know. So they said they were going to look for a deadly striker, a deadly goal scorer, somebody that is very proficient in scoring goals. So they decided to set up this small team, you know, a recruitment team, to look for a deadly goal scorer so that they will not keep losing games. They want to start winning games. So at their first meeting, they talk about a couple of people, you know, within the town that they would like to consider to hire. A few names popped up. At the end of the day, they zeroed down to a particular person, a particular name. And so they reviewed his record in terms of his goal scoring and in terms of his assist. For those people who don't know so much about soccer or football, assist just means that you're not the one that scored the goal, but you're the one that provided the pass, you know, that make the person score the goal. So that's one of the qualities they wanted, somebody who is going to be able to give a kind of a good pass, or what they call a killer pass, you know, in soccer, such that the person is going to, they're looking for somebody who can score and who can assist. Like I said, they started talking about certain qualities that they were looking for. At the end of the day, they zeroed down to this person and they were going to talk to him. And so one person stood up and said, look, because they were going to look for more information about him. One person stood up and said, look, I know his previous coach. His previous coach happened to be my friend. I will speak to this previous coach of his and just gather some more information about this dude. You know, another person put up his hand and he said, look, his brother and I went to the same school together. I know his brother very well. I can talk to him and find out about his brother, how deadly a finisher he is as a person. So I will talk to him. And another one put his up his hand and as part of those recruitment team and said, look, I actually used to work in the same restaurant with one of his teammates. I think I will speak to one of his teammates and find out more about him in terms of his ability. Now, while all this was going on, the head of the recruitment team didn't seem excited about, you know, these other guys that were putting up their hands, until one of the guys that was sitting at the table put up his hand and he said, well, you know, I know a few people who have played against this guy, you know, who have played for other teams and opposing team, and they have played against this guy. Will it be okay if I speak to some of these people that have played against him and gather some more information about this guy and find out how deadly a striker he is? And all of a sudden, there was light, you know, on the face of the head of the recruitment team. And he said, you are going to be the one to do the job. You please go ahead and speak to his opponents, the people that have played against him in previous times, and find out about this guy. And he turned to others and he said, if you want to know how deadly a striker he is, speak to his opponents. If you want to know how deadly a striker he is, you don't speak to his family members, you don't speak to his friends, you speak to his opponents. That's how you know how effective, how proficient a good striker is. Now, I want us to start on that platform and say this. If you want to know how effective a believer is, speak to his opponent. If you want to know how effective a Christian is, speak to his opponent. And who is the opponent of a believer? The devil. You know, the devil are in his cults. His cults are called demons. Demons are simply angels who have fallen, who are no longer, you know, in God's camp and who have gone to the devil's camp. That's exactly the experience that we have in the passage that we have just read about an opponent of Paul, some demons who are in the camp of the devil speaking about this man Paul. If you're joining us for the first time, or you've been away for a while, we've been in this series called Action Packed, just going through the book of Acts of the Apostles and gleaning from the things that took place in the life of these people, because we know that they are actually a mirror of our experience in our different time. And today I would like to talk to you about what I've titled, Getting Known in Hell. Getting Known in Hell. How do you get hell to know about you? How do you get the people in hell, or the demons in hell, rather, to know about you? We'll see what happened in this particular instance, because the opponent, the opposing force, had to speak about Paul, the apostle. And he did not just speak about Paul the apostle, he also spoke about Jesus. And of course, he has the question from these guys who were trying to prove a point. So if you go back to the passage we have just read in Acts chapter number 19, let me just set the stage. The Bible says this in verse number 11, very important. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Stop. The miracles that you're going to read about shortly, they are not miracles that were conjured and put together by Paul. They were done by who? By God. Look at it again. Look at what the Bible says. And God worked. And God worked. It is important that is actually put in perspective, because you're going to see some unusual miracles taking place here. And I guess the Holy Spirit is trying to say, hello, this is not about Paul. This is about God choosing to use Paul to do these miracles. And he goes ahead and says in verse 12, so that even handkerchief or apron. Now, handkerchief in that place is actually talking about the sweat band, you know. It's used by, you know, people in their daily time. They just tie it around their head so that it soaks the sweat that comes, you know, from their forehead. You know, so that's what is referred to here as handkerchief. And apron, you know, if you have seen people handing people, when they want to do their work, they put their tools, you know, around, they tie an apron around them and put their tools in there. You know, if you don't know about it, it's because you're not been working well at home, you know, as a guy, you know, you've been hiring people to come and do your job, okay? Don't look at any other person, just keep looking at me because I have a good example of that. Anyway, so you have this apron that they have around them. The Bible says when they take the handkerchief and the apron from Paul, it actually, when they put it on the body of the sick, they recover. The disease leave people. Evil spirits go out of people just by the reason of the handkerchief from Paul. But who is doing this miracle? People of God? God. This has nothing to do with Paul. As a matter of fact, I would imagine that there were instances when people actually took Paul's apron, took Paul's handkerchief, and took it to people without his knowledge and still was doing miracles. Why? Because it was what God chose to use. It had nothing to do with Paul. I'm saying that because it is important that we realize that there are certain things that we claim to be able to do that is actually outside of our powers and our control. We are not able to do those miracles. We can't boast to be able to do those miracles. It is God that does it. And so when you come across people, you know, on television and all those things and say, you know, I'm going to send this handkerchief to you and you just place it on your head, you know, I'm going to draw my hands, I've prayed over it and I will draw my hands and I will put it and then I will send it to you put it on the engine of your car and it will start to work. You've not been able to drive it for 10 years and just put it there. The power of God will heal your car. And come on. There is no one. The Bible says it's God that does this work, these miracles. And such people, unfortunately, will end up by saying, you know, if you actually want that power to hit you well and you just need to sow a seed of faith. Come on, what are you talking about? It has nothing to do with you. It is God that chose to do it this way. And tomorrow he might not use the handkerchief. He might not use your apron. He chose to do it this way at this point in time. So it has nothing to do with you. And I say that with, you know, every sense of responsibility, because even believers who have been in the faith are falling prey to this. And we're going to see in a short while why people go into that extent and begin to look for miracles and powers from people. It is about God, people of God. It has nothing to do with them. I've been in places where people have actually, you know, because everyone wanted to buy handkerchief and stuff like that, you know, the prices of handkerchief just suddenly, you know, go 100%, 200%. Because people want to take the handkerchief and lay it down so that the man of God will lay his hands upon it or raise it up and then the hand of the man of God. Come on, people of God, all of these things are not, they are not. It's God that does the miracle. He chose to do it this way. And let no man chase after my handkerchief, you know, because I bought this. It's precious to me. Please don't steal my handkerchief. You know, I just said that in a funny way. But the truth of the matter is there is no power here. It's my sweat. I mean, you can as well wash it and bring it back to me. I will say thank you. But it has no power whatsoever. If you want to experience God's power, go back to the person who gives the power. It's God. It's God. I mean, certain people will buy some oil and put it and send it to a man of God in America, in Sydney, in Africa. And then they will say, send it back to me. And then they will wire $200. Come on, what are you talking about? You have turned Christianity to witchcraft, basically. This is witchcraft you are practicing. You're just sprinkling the name of Jesus upon it to make it look Christianly. It has nothing to do with that. You're just practicing witchcraft. So this is, and that's why the Bible says, I like the fact that it says it's God that worked these unusual miracles. He chose to do it this way. It does not mean tomorrow he will do it exactly this way. He might choose some other things. I mean, there are instances when God did not even have to use an anchor. It was just the shadow of Peter. The shadow of Peter that was healing people. The shadow of it, that was what God wanted to use at that point in time. Why? Because he's sovereign. He can choose to use anything. But you know what the word, the Bible says this to me that makes me so excited? You know, you don't need any of these objects. The Bible says he sent forth his word, and his word heals them. He sent forth his word, and his word heals them, and he delivered them from their destruction. So you can as well stay where you are and pray for somebody and send the word. I mean, there have been instances when I've been on phone with people, and they have talked about certain things. I said, look, let's pray. Why? Because he sent forth his word, and his word heals them. So we need to separate the object that God uses from the God that uses those objects and the power of God that flow, you know, using through those objects. Those objects are not only because they have come from a certain set of people. I remember I was watching one of these program, and the guy was saying that, you know, he just came from Israel and that he had this object that he brought from Israel, you know, and that if you send certain amount of money, he was going to send it to you and you place it on whatever and the power of God will heal you or whatever. Come on. So going to Israel has now become a special thing, you know. Going to Israel or bringing some object from Israel has now become special. That's not what the Bible says. You can bring the object from anywhere, you know. It's the power of God chooses to go through an object, so be it. But what I'm saying is that nobody should arrogate that power to himself, that he has the power to put on handkerchief and aprons and stuff like that. Anyway, I believe that's going to help somebody, and that's why I believe the Spirit of the Lord is leading me in that direction. And so these guys, there was this powerful thing that was going on. And the ministry of Paul was powerful. And so some guys around, they felt this was cool. This was cool because Paul would just say, in the name of Jesus, and certain things will happen. And they felt, let's do the same. They were exorcists. You know, it was common in their day and time to exorcise, you know, demons. To exorcise demons means to chase demons out, you know. And they were going to do exactly the same thing. Now, there were many claims that people had in their day and time that was not actually true. And that's not too far from what we experience today, because there are certain things that people claim they are able to do that they are actually not true. Now, anyway, so they came across this particular demon, this particular man that has this demonic influence in verse 13. And then the Bible says, then some of the itinerant Jews, Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, listen. It was not a bad thing for them to have called upon the name of Jesus. But they were not just calling upon the name of Jesus for salvation. You know what the Bible says? Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. As many as are called upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. So, but that was not what they were doing in this particular instance. They were not calling upon the name of the Lord to get saved. They were going to use the name of Jesus. They felt it was cool. You know, they were going to make some good money. And they felt this is going to be easy. I mean, we've been trying to cast out whatever. Over this time, this is going to be very straightforward. Just use the name of Jesus and cast it out. But not today, because something is going to happen to them today that is not going to change their lives. It's actually going to change the life of the people in Ephesus, because something happened to them. Verse 14, and there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. Who are you? I know Jesus. And which of the demons would not know Jesus? The Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That was exactly what Jesus did when he sank into the grave, and then he was there before he rose up a couple of days afterwards. He actually, you know, disarmed principalities and powers. And the Bible says he made an open spectacle of them. He triumphed over them. So the demons, of course, know they know Jesus. You know, They know Jesus that he has all authority. Matthew chapter 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. So they know Jesus. It will have been okay to stop there, but this statement actually included another statement, which is actually a challenge to you and to me. And that's, we know Paul. We know Jesus because he has all authority. We know Paul because he has been authorized. He has been authorized to do those things. He had his authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. But who are you? We don't know you in hell. What's your first name? What's your last name? We don't know you. And you have the effrontery to come out and be saying, come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Now, these guys don't have any relationship with Jesus. They don't know him as their personal Lord and Savior. They have not engaged in him. They have not called upon him to be saved. All they wanted to do is to use Jesus to accomplish and attain what they wanted. And it backfired big time. Because the Bible says, after what the demons spoke, the Bible says in verse 16, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Can you just think, picture it? Seven people came against one man and one demon. The Bible says, came upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed upon them. That tells you how powerful a demon can be. Because they were seven, I would have thought that while he's dealing with one, then the others will run away. You know, the six will run away or something. But for whatever reason, it must have been a very quick, you know, quick delivery of blow and whatever happened, you know. It was a very surgical, quick operation. You know. If you have watched all those, Jackie Chan, whatever, you know, it doesn't take too long to break the jaws of people, you know. So that's actually what happened here, you know. And he overpowered them. He tore their clothes. They fled naked. How embarrassing would that have been to the people? And that sent a message across that, look, these demons are not, they don't know you. They don't know you in hell. And that takes us to this place where I want to talk about two important things that you will see here. Number one is having the authority. Having the authority. And number two is using the authority. Having the authority and then using the authority. The sons of Sceva, they did not have that authority. So they did not have any reason to use the authority. They didn't have the authority. Jesus has not stamped his authority upon, he has not given them the authority. Behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemy hurt you. That's to those who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's those ones are given the authority. I have all authority, I have given them to you. That's exactly what he says. I believe that's in Luke chapter number 10, verse 17. You know, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. But they didn't have that authority. They didn't have that power. They didn't have that backing. And so they came. So the sons of Sceva, they lacked the authority that they tried to use. But we see the example of Paul, the apostle, by the grace of God, that he did not just have the authority, but he was able to also use the authority. He had the authority and he used the authority. Now, there is a third category of people. You know, we have talked about people who don't have the authority and who try to use the authority. Those are the sons of Sceva. We have talked about somebody who had the authority and was able to effectively use the authority. That's the reason why they knew him in hell. But there is a third set of people which unfortunately, some of us in this room and those watching us online actually fall into, and that's the people that have the authority, but they never use the authority. They have the authority, but they don't use the authority. That's very, very unfortunate. Why? Because getting known in hell is not just about you having the authority. It's about you using the authority, dealing a great blow upon hell. That's how you announce your arrival. They said, we know about Paul. We know him very well. But who are you? Who are you? Somebody say, I'm so-and-so, the son of Sceva. Who is that? We don't know him. But he's a chief, he's a high priest. I mean, that's what the Bible referring to in verse number 14. It says, a Jewish chief priest. A Jewish chief priest. We don't know him. I don't care. But he's a pastor in our church. We don't know him. He's an elder. We don't know him. You know, he's a prophet. In fact, he's powerful. We don't know him. So the question to you, people of God, today is, if I was going to ask how effective you are, I will have to speak to a demon. Thankfully, I don't know their house number. But if you're going to be speaking to a demon and saying, do you know that guy? What would be his response? Okay, maybe I should start by saying this. Demons are not ancient thing that passed away, you know, with Jesus. Demons are here and they are real. They are as real then or now as they were then. Demons are just, like I said, fallen angels. And because we have become so sophisticated that we think, oh, whenever we talk about demons and casting out demons, it used to be in Bible times, there are no demons here. Now, are you kidding me? You know, and that's what demons love to continue to do their havoc without you acknowledging that you are actually under demonic influence. You know, that's what they love. You know, you go to certain places, you know, where there is a lot of immorality going on and there is shining light, there is blue light, and there is whatever, and you see all the carpets are clean, it's fully air-conditioned, and saying, this is a beautiful place, without knowing that this place is packed with demons. And they love it that way, okay? Because they will do more damage if they are, you know, in the dark, in the secret, than if they were open, you know? So I'm trying to say that there are demons in the 21st century. Somebody say, I've not come across one. You don't have to come across one because they are spirit beings. They are spirit beings. You don't have to come across one. Their influence and the devastation they cause is actually what makes you know that this is a demonic influence. You know? So you don't just need to have the authority. You need to know to use the authority. And that's why you announce your name in hell. There are no registers in hell. They don't register. They don't keep register there, at least from what the Bible says. The Bible says, and there were books in heaven, Revelation chapter 20. And there was another book, which is called the Book of Life. And anyone whose name is not found in the Book of Life is thrown in the lake of fire. So it's an exclusion thing. Your name is not here? Go there. You don't have to check your name there because they don't keep register there in hell. Okay? They only keep register in heaven. Your name is here? Come in. Your name is not here? Go there. The only way they know you there is the havoc that you do by the reason of the grace and the power of God upon your life. And that's why I'm challenging you, people of God. They need to know you there. Not because your name is there, because there are no registers there, but because you cause confusion and demons should quake when you wake. When you wake up, they say, oh, trouble has woken up again. That's the way you are designed by God. Go into all the world and make disciples of men. What Jesus is saying, snatch them away from hell. And when you do that, hell recognizes that they are losing people. And that's why they get to know that you are still around here. You have the authority, but you need to use the authority. If you're born again, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the authority. But you need to use the authority. Somebody say it's easier said than done. You are absolutely right. Because to use the authority that Jesus has given to you, you need to have a good fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The way you will be reminded of the need for you to use your authority is when you are in constant fellowship with the authorizer. When the authorized, when you are in constant fellowship with the authorizer, he is going to continue to remind you it is time to use the authority. It is time to use the authority. Moses got to the side of the Red Sea and said, Lord, what am I going to do? And the Lord said, what's in your hand? A rod. Stretch it out. That's what, when someone is in constant fellowship with his maker, that's exactly what happens, because he keeps reminding you what you know, or rather what you have that you can use. The reason why we are losing battles and they don't get to know us in hell, at least as much as they should know us, is because there is abundance of authority, but there is no use of it. Why? Because we are far away from the authorizer who is going to constantly remind us that it's time to use that authority. We've lost confidence. We have not been able to build capacity. That's another word that you're going to hear me use in the next 5-10 minutes. Capacity. Because it's one thing to have the authority. It's another thing to have the capacity to use the authority. You might have the authority. You might have been authorized. But somehow you are fearful. You are afraid. Because you lack the capacity to exercise the authority. Now, there are several professionals here. But let me just use myself as an example. You know, I'm always comfortable using myself as an example, because nobody is going to write an email to the pastor and say, why are you using me as an example in church? You know. So I'm comfortable using myself as an example, because, I mean, I'm myself. I can only ask myself, why did you? I don't have any trouble with that. You know, by the grace of God, I'm a trained medical practitioner. You know, I graduated about 20 years ago from the medical college, and the day that we're going to be doing the induction, you know, you approach, you come all together, and then you take the Hippocratic Oath, and then they will confirm you a doctor. Now, when you are confirmed a doctor, that's, they have authorized you to practice medicine, and all of us will always come out of that hall, you know, like this, you know, as if the end of the world has come. I'm now a doctor, you know. Even though the head is empty, you know. You know. Well, empty, not that there is nothing there, but you have not actually tested the real world. Now, so when we graduated, we were green, we were authorized, but there were certain things I dare not do. They were within medical practice, but I dare not do it. Not because I don't have the authority, but because I lack the capacity. 20 years after, there are many more things I'm able to do now that I would dare not dare to do 20 years ago. Not because I just got the authority now, but because 20 years I have been able to build what? Capacity. The reason why many of us are authorized and we still behave as people that has no authority is because we are far removed from the authorizer, and so we have not been able to build capacity to be able to exercise authority. Because you need that to be able to challenge the situation, to be able to confront demonic oppressions over your family and your affairs. You need that capacity to give you confidence to exercise that authority. And Jesus is saying to you today, come on, draw closer to me. Let me build capacity in you. I have given you the power, but you've been scared, afraid, confused, because you lack capacity to do it. You know, there was an instance when the apostles, they came to the Jesus actually went into, it's a long story, Jesus actually went to the mount to pray. And then in the process, God transfigured. He took Peter, James, and John. And so a man brought his child to Jesus. Jesus was not available, so he felt, look, the disciples are here. They should be able to do it. And so the disciples tried all they could, but they couldn't cast out demons. They couldn't cast out the mute and the dumb demon from this boy. And so after a while, I'm sure they must have cried their lungs out and they're tired. Say, look, you wait for the master. I don't know this the kind of demon that you've got. I don't know which. Is he imported? You know, that kind of a demon, you know, because they couldn't they couldn't deal with it, you know. And Jesus came. And the Bible says Jesus dealt with the demon. Mark chapter number 9. Dealt with the demon, cast the demon out. And the Bible says they came to Jesus secretly. They came to Jesus secretly. You know, Jesus, what happened? Why could we not cast out that demon? Because they were embarrassed. They couldn't even ask that question publicly. And, you know, Jesus did not say, well, you didn't have the authority. No, you didn't have. Mark chapter number 9, please. Mark chapter number 9. I'm rounding up in a short while. I just want you to see this. Mark chapter number 9. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 28. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? You know the reason why they are asking this question? Because they had dealt with demons before. In Mark chapter number 6, look at what the Bible says in verse number 13. Mark chapter number 6, verse 13. The Bible says, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So they had done it before. So Jesus, why couldn't we cast this out? Jesus, when he came down from the mountain where he had gone to pray, he had already told them, when they told him that we couldn't cast it out, when the father of the boy said they couldn't cast it out. You know what Jesus said? Oh, faithless generation. Simply put, you guys lack faith. You guys lack faith. In fact, it's clearly put, let's turn to the same account in Matthew. In Matthew chapter number, Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17, look at what the Bible says. So, in verse 16, so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? In other words, when Jesus came and he saw that they couldn't do it, he said, you are faithless. You have no faith. Now, later on, they asked Jesus in verse 19 of the same chapter. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out, Lord? Why could we not? We've done this before. And Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Now, listen to me, people of God. Just listen. What happens when you have a regular fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, in your prayer, in your walk of faith, in your fasting, in your exercising, the spiritual discipline. What happens in that space? Capacity is built in you. Spiritual capacity that is built in you. Faith is a spiritual capacity. Faith in your heart, confidence that the Lord will do it, is a spiritual capacity. You don't build it from far from the Savior, from the authorizer. You build it in constant fellowship with Him. And so when you build that faith and that confidence in you, then when it comes to the time of exercising the authority, because you have built faith, or what I refer to as spiritual capacity, you are not in any doubt as to what you need to do, and your expectation is high because you have been in constant fellowship with the authorizer. Is that because you lack faith? Now, later on, you know, the Bible says in that same place, in verse 21, it says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Stop. Sometimes when we read that place, we say, oh, it's because this guy's prayer and fasting is because... they were not able to cast it out because of prayer and fasting. It's not incorrect, but it's incomplete. Now, what prayer and fasting does is that it builds faith. It builds faith, your faith life. It builds your faith life because your prayer is not just something it's not just some nebulous thing. It's talking to God. It's fellowshipping with the Lord. That's what fasting does. It's a spiritual recharging moment for you. When that happens, faith is built within your heart. When that happens, spiritual capacity comes to you. When that happens, unbelief is defeated in your heart. When that happens, when you have the opportunity to need to exercise authority, the authorizer will prompt you to release the authority, and because you have develop the capacity, you have no hesitation in doing exactly that. I am challenging you, people of God. You are authorized
Because the Lord Jesus says that he has given you the authority. I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. But you need to build the capacity. And the capacity comes in your constant fellowship with the Lord. In your daily walk with the Lord. And that's why it breaks my heart each time we talk about prayer and people think that it's just an icing on the cake. It's a real thing, people. That's the place where you develop your spiritual capacity, because there is abundance of authority that has been laid upon your heart that is going to be laid to waste if you don't have that confidence in the Lord, faith in the Lord, spiritual capacity to be able to exercise the authority. They need to know you in hell, people of God. For some of us, they don't know our name. They don't know our last name. But for those that are actually using the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ on a regular basis, they know your name, they know your last name, they know your middle name, you know, they know your AKA, you know, you know your house address, that shouldn't scare you, you know, they know everything about you, but you are kept, you are protected, you know. Years ago, when we were so much in this demon casting kind of a thing, you know. I remember in our uni days, you know, some of us usually will be looking around for demons, you know. Is there any demon in this room, you know, to cast out? You know, we'll be going from room to room, you know, because we just got excited about this power, you know. And I remember at a time as a young believer, I was like, look, these demons that I'm casting out here and there, I hope one day they will not, you know, have a meeting and say, look, let's go after this guy. He's been causing us too much trouble. You know. But I got to know that anyone that exercises the authority that has been given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ is protected, is kept. The Bible says, more are those that are with us than those that are with them. I want to provoke your heart to develop this capacity to use the authority of the name of Jesus that has been given unto you, so that they will get to know you in hell, or maybe for some of us, get to know you better in hell. Let us pray.